So I'm reading from John 20, verses 24-31. Jesus appears to Thomas. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Right, well, sometimes you hear the most incredible stories, don't you? And you're not sure if they're true. It might be something that you hear about in the playground or at work, or it might be something that you read in the paper and you think, unbelievable, unbelievable. Things like Leicester City winning the Premier League 2 years ago. Incredible if you've been told at the start of the season they were going to win the Premier League, but they did. Or Wigan, I'm just using sporting stuff here, Wigan beating Man City a few weeks ago. They did. Incredible, but they did. Blackpool winning one game. Incredible, but they did. That was the one Saturday I was very happy this year. Or Usain Bolt running 100 meters in 9.58 seconds. 9.58 seconds. Really? Unbelievable. Well, no. He did do that. And like all these things, people were there to see it. And you can read their reports in the papers. And you can listen to them, watch them on the TV, see the photographs yourself. And yes, photographs can be changed and altered, can't they? But when there's so many people there watching and witnessing the events, and they're all saying the same thing, then with that kind of evidence, you can't really deny it. Well, that's really what's happening in our Bible passage this morning. Do have it open in front of you. I'm going to ask a number of questions, and if you're at primary school, if you get the right answer, you can have a little... thank you, Andre took my sweets, didn't he? Chocolates. Get a little chocolate. So, at the end of our Bible story, we heard how Jesus appeared to the disciples. They were there in the room, they were scared, but Jesus appeared. He showed them his hands and his side, but one of the disciples wasn't there. One of them was missing. Who could tell me who that was? Okay, we'll go over here. Who was it? It wasn't Judas. It begins with a T. You think about that. We'll come back to you, Daniel. Thomas. They just say there might be nuts in these, so it was all right. Yeah, good. It was Thomas. Now, Thomas hadn't been there, had he? And when the other disciples come to him and say, "We've seen Jesus, we've seen the Lord, he's alive." Do you remember what he said? Remember what he said? What did he say? Any offers? Adults can join in now, I think. Hey, Lewis, your hand was right up. Go on. What did he say? Shout it out. Thank you. That's right. Thank you. I'll give you... He said, "I don't believe it, and I won't believe it Unless I see the wounds in his hands where those nails were, and that wound in his side where the spear went, and not just that, not only see it, put my fingers in. I won't believe it unless I do that. And so he must be pretty convinced that it hasn't happened, because it's a pretty horrible thing to go poking around in someone's open wounds, isn't it? But that's what he said. And a few days later, Thomas got the shock of his life. It was the following Sunday, the disciples had come together again, and this time Thomas was with them, and who can remember what happened? Leona? That's right. Thank you. Jesus appeared to them. Jesus came again, and this time, as we say, Thomas was there, and he said to Thomas, "Thomas, put your hand here, the wounds, look at them, there's the wounds in my hands and the wounds in my side. Put your finger there and stop doubting and believe." And Thomas responded, what did he say? He said, "I don't believe it." No, he changed his mind. He believed it. And he didn't need to put his finger in the wounds. He didn't need to feel the wound in Jesus' side. He simply said, "My Lord and my God, my Lord and my God." And presented with that kind of evidence, that's all he could say. Really? Now, we can't see Jesus like Thomas. We weren't there. But people were there. These people were there. These men were there, and these women were there. And John was there. And John has written down what he and the others saw and heard so that we can have the evidence that we need to believe and to come to the same conclusion. Let's just have a look at those verses. Have a look at verse 30. Just over the page. This is why John's wrote this book. He said, "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, but these, they're not recorded in this book, but these ones are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." So he's written this so we can have the evidence so we believe ourselves. Many people do believe. Many people don't believe. In fact, the vast majority of people don't believe and won't believe it. And lots of people just say, "It's a big hoax. It's a big hoax. The disciples made it up. They staged it. It's just one big April fool. And they concocted the whole thing. They made it up." Really? Really? The disciples had absolutely nothing to gain by declaring that Jesus was raised from the dead. Nothing to gain. Humanly, everything to lose. What their message brought them, they went round saying, "Jesus is raised, he's Lord and God," and that didn't win them many friends. In fact, all it brought them was persecution and death. All of them gave their lives to telling people that Jesus has risen. All but one of them died a horrible death. And the one that didn't die a horrible death lived a very lonely rest of his life in solitary confinements on a horrible island in the middle of the Mediterranean. Would they really have died? Would they have really put up with all that for something that they knew to be an April Fool? To be a hoax? Do you think they'd really put up with all that? And if it was a hoax, if they had made it up, surely under all that pressure, at least one of them would have blown the whistle. But no. Their witness is trustworthy, bears all the hallmarks of trustworthy eyewitness accounts. Yes, Jesus being raised from the dead is an astonishing story. But for those who care to look, there is so much evidence to back it up. There's the empty tomb, there's the appearances of Jesus to many, many people who are all saying the same thing. There's biblical prophecy, God saying in advance that this was going to happen, and then it happening exactly as he'd said hundreds of years earlier. There's the change in the disciples from scared, fearful men into courageous witnesses on the streets, willing to die for this. And there's the fact that these men and women, with no political power, no influence in society, totally turned their world upside down with a message about a carpenter who was crucified on the cross and raised 3 days later. put all that together, it all adds up to the conclusion that Jesus is alive. And it's no April Fool. It's April fact. One Sunday in April, possibly April the 9th, 20 centuries ago, Jesus of Nazareth rose from the dead. I heard a story about a man who went to the doctor. His wife had sent him because he was convinced that he was dead. Spent all his days saying, I'm a dead. Sent him to the doctor, and the doctor didn't know what to do with him, so the doctor arranged an appointment for him to see a renowned psychologist. And he went to see this psychologist. He had one appointment, said, I'm dead. And the psychologist says, you come back to see me next week. Came for his appointment. On the psychiatrist's desk, there's a pile of books. He says, we're going to go through all these books. I want to show you that you're not dead, that you're alive. So they went through the books, and there were medical books by very renowned medical people. And every single book, the psychiatrist opened it and showed it to the man. You see there, it says that dead people don't bleed. Went through every single book. Dead people don't bleed. Dead people don't bleed. Loads and loads of doctors saying this. Came to the last book, 2 hours later, put it down on the desk. He said, do you agree with me that all the evidence is there saying that dead people don't bleed? And the man says, yeah, absolutely. I see, that's the evidence. Dead people don't believe. And while he was saying that, the psychiatrist had got hold of his letter opener, and he picked it up and he stabbed him in the hand. And blood started spurting out all over the place. And the man went, ah! What do you know? Dead people do bleed after all. That's not a true story. But it's a silly story that makes a point, a serious point, that some people just refuse to believe the evidence that is there. Some people actually refuse to even look at the evidence. Many people don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus, not because there's no evidence, there is, but because they don't want it to be true. They don't want it to be true because of what it means. Because the resurrection means that everything that Jesus ever said and ever did is absolutely true. And everything that the Bible says about Jesus Christ is absolutely true. And that means that Easter isn't safe. It's not safe. Because if it's true, we, human beings, we have to give up the pretense that we're in charge and that we run the show and that we're at the center of the universe. And we know that that's what Easter means deep down. And that's why we cover it in chocolate. It's the big chocolate cover-up, because we don't want to face the truth. And here's the truth. The resurrection is true, and all the evidence says it is true. This is what it means. Point one, Jesus really is Lord and God. Jesus really is Lord and God. He's exactly who he claimed to be, exactly who this book says he is, John's Gospel says he is. He is the Messiah, God's anointed king. He is the Son of God. He is the creator of the world, the Word, who in the beginning was with God and was God, through whom everything was made. He is the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's the ruler of the world and the judge of the world, the Son of Man. He's at the center of the universe, not me, not you, Jesus. Life is about Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. He really is Lord and God. Second thing that the resurrection tells us is that we really are in trouble for acting as if life really is about us and ignoring God in our lives. That's a very serious thing. Jesus says that we are sinners and we need saving. We're rebels. We've lived to please ourselves. And we're under God's wrath, his right anger for the way we've treated him. That's what position we find ourselves in. And we can't save ourselves. Can't save ourselves from the power of sin or from the punishment of sin. But Jesus can. And that's the good news. And that's the third thing that the resurrection tells us. This is why we're happy today. Is that we really can be saved. Jesus really can save us. And that's good news. He really did die on the cross for our sins. He really was punished instead of us so that we don't have to be punished. He took God's wrath instead of us. His work really is finished, really was successful. The resurrection tells us that the cross worked. And we really can be forgiven. And we really can have peace with God. That's what the significance of Jesus appearing to his disciples and saying, "Peace be with you. You've got peace now. You didn't have it before. But now, because I died and I paid the price of your sin, you can have peace with God." And today, Jesus' Father can be our Father. That's the good message, the wonderful message that Jesus said to Mary, "You take it and tell my brothers, I'm going back to my Father and your Father." He's your Father now. He wasn't before. But I've removed the barrier, the rebellion, the sin that stopped that happening, making it possible. And I've taken care of that. So you could be your Father now. You can be children of God. We can be children of God now. And we can know the true and living God. We can know him today. We can know him forever. We can have eternal life instead of eternal wrath. That's the message of the resurrection. And if we believe that message, the apostles' message, then we're truly blessed. That's what Jesus says to Thomas. He says, you believe because you see. But blessed are those who believe even though they haven't seen, who accept your message, your witness, your testimony, your word. If we believe that message, we're truly blessed. Why? Because we have life. We have real life, life that is greater than death. We have eternal life. And just like Jesus was, one day we can look forward to being raised from the dead bodily and spending eternity with God in God's new perfect world. It's not fantasy. It's not fairy tale. It's good. It's true. It's real. I just want to finish by telling you about Tiana Marsh. She woke up on April the 1st, 2015. She picked up a morning paper, which was the New Zealand Herald. And at the bottom of the front page was an advert from a BMW car dealership. It said this, "April Fool's Day Special." April Fool's Day Special. And it promised a brand new BMW worth £25,000. That's a fancy car, a BMW. To the first person who turned up at the showroom with their own car, the advert in their hand, and to ask for Tom. It's April Fool's Day. What do you do when you see that? Do you think it's a prank? It's a hoax? I'm going to look really stupid, aren't I, if I fall for that one? If I get in my car and I drive all the way to the BMW dealership and ask for Tom, I'll feel really stupid. I bet loads of people thought that. But Tiana Marsh, she got into her old banger, and she drove to the garage with the advert. She went in, she asked for Tom, and right then and there, she got a brand new car worth £25,000. And this was the number plate. You see it? No fool. No fool. Well, here is God's Easter Day special. It just happens to be April Fool's Day today. But this is God's special offer. It's better than a BMW. Forgiveness of all your sin, of everything that you've ever done, and eternal life with God. And the resurrection tells us that that is a real gift. It's not a hoax, not a prank. It's not an April Fool. It's free to anyone who take God's word for it and believe in Jesus. And if you haven't done that yet, what will you do today? I wonder if you'll take it, if you'll believe. What does it mean to believe? It means you have to admit. You have to admit that you're wrong and God's right. You have to admit your sin, your rebellion against him, living for yourself and not for him. You have to admit your need of a Savior. Admit that Jesus is the only Savior. And you have to submit. You have to admit and submit. Submit to Jesus as Lord. And live the rest of your life with him as number one in charge. I know there's lots of people here this morning who've done that. Many people think Christians are fools for doing that, for believing it and for giving our lives to Jesus. It's not easy living the Christian life. But the resurrection tells us that it's not foolish to follow Jesus. It's foolish living for yourself. It's foolish living without Jesus. But living for Jesus, that's so wise. See, living for Jesus is freedom. Living for Jesus is joy. Living for Jesus is peace. Living for Jesus is life, because Jesus really is alive. Jesus really is Lord. Jesus really is God. And if you believe that, then you are no fool. And if you make that step today and admit and submit today, you are no fool. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you that you sent your Son into the world to do everything that we need to be rescued from our sin and to have life with you, to know you. And we thank and praise you that this offer holds good because you raised your Son from the dead. Praise you for your love. You love us so much that you've done all that for us. Great cost to yourself. Pray that you'd help every single one of us here to believe. Thank you that you don't call us to leave our brains at the door. You've given us brains to use, and you've given us plenty of evidence. Thank you that you don't call us to take a blind leap into the dark, but to look at the evidence and to make our decision. Please help us to do that and to see that it holds good. Help us to believe that Jesus really is the Christ, the Son of God, so that by believing we will have life in his name. We pray this in his name. Amen.